You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
That is correct. It's time for Audio Culture on 95BFM. Thanks to Audio Culture, of course. I'm joined by Simon Gregg on the line. Kia ora, Simon. How are you going?
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. I'm really interested to talk about what we're going to be chatting about today. Lance Ferguson. I can't say that I was familiar, to be honest. Maybe I'm ignorant, but I feel like...
Well, you're not ignorant. I mean, Lance is an amazing character. He's a very prolific musician, but he's been based in Melbourne since 1991.
Right.
And he's only... when I was talking to him when I was doing the story, he's a proud Kiwi, carries a passport, all that sort of stuff. But his primary band is the Bamboos, and they're a big band. They're like, I don't know, I'm not sure, 7 or 8 people sometimes.
Mm.
And only been across the Tasman once because of the size of the band.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would inhibit you a little bit budget-wise, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're extremely well-known in the UK, obviously very well-known in Australia, have a big following in New York and Los Angeles, places like that, and even like Tokyo and stuff. But for some reason, New Zealand is kind of like, you know, he's a son of New Zealand or a grandson of New Zealand with a huge legacy in New Zealand, but for some reason he's never really caught the public eye.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, I wanted to chat a little bit about where he's come from, because I don't know if you can classify this as a nepotism baby, because he's not a very well-known name, so it's kind of like the opposite or something. But tell me a little bit about his parents and, yeah, the legacy that you just talked about.
Well, the legacy goes back a long way. I mean, there was a guy called Bill Wolfgram, who was probably one of the biggest pop stars in New Zealand in the 1950s and early 1960s. And Bill had a band that used to play around Auckland a lot. And they were like, the Hawaiian craze was very, very big. Hawaiian rock and roll and that sort of stuff was all coming through. And there's a big live scene. The Orange Ballroom in Newton Road and places like that were very popular. And Bill, in 1956, I think it was November 1956, released the New Zealand first album. Sorry, the first album by a New Zealander released in New Zealand. And which is quite a landmark,
yeah.
Think about it. And from there flows a whole industry, you know.
Mm.
So Lance is his grandson, and his mother was Kay Wolfgram, and she was a very popular singer in the 1970s in Auckland. She did solo stuff, but most of her stuff was live with a band called Cruise Lane, who were very, very big around the high street sort of scene.
Mm. Interesting. Shall we listen to a song to start us off, and then we'll talk a little bit about his music journey?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Play whichever one you want. What, I don't know what song you're thinking of.
I'm thinking the Wilhelm Scream.
Yeah, okay, we'll play this because this is a really interesting story.
Do you want to tell us the story while we start to listen to it?
Well, the Bamboos obviously are an Australian and New Zealand band, but the Wilhelm Scream is a song written by, you know, James Blake, the international pop star.
Yeah.
His father wrote the song for some prog rock band in the 1970s in the UK, and James covered it, I think. Yeah. You might as well play it in the background, I'm talking about it, but he covered it. He covered his father's song, and then Lance heard the James Blake version and thought it had something going for it, so he decided to cover it with the Bamboos. And the Bamboos version of James Blake's cover of his father's song became an international hit.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of that. So, yeah, it's an extraordinary record.
Yeah. Cool, let's have a listen.
I don't know about my love anymore. All that I know is I'm falling, falling, falling. Might as well fall in. Oh,
So beautiful.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? It's amazing.
That vocalist is lovely.
I think it's probably the definitive version of the song, you know, of the three versions.
Mm.
The vocalist is Megan Washington, who's an Australian singer, but it's just beautiful.
Yeah, that is really beautiful. So talk to me about the Bamboos and the role that Lance plays in that.
Well, he, as much as anything, I suppose, he's the leader of the band, but he's the, I don't know, the creative mind behind the whole thing. He arrived in Australia in the early 1990s, and he started off as a dishwasher. You know, he left school, got a job as a dishwasher, and realized that wasn't for him. So he started playing around musically, and ended up jamming with a lot of musicians in the 1990s in Melbourne. Mm. Now, Melbourne's always had a really strong sort of soul and jazz sort of scene. So he started working with some of these people, and ended up forming a band. He went through a couple of bands, and in 2001, I think it was, the Bamboos came together, and that was, he got together with like-minded people and said, let's form a band. And they released their debut album 2004. I mean, I'm trying to remember all this sort of stuff right now.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Because I was reading in the article, he kind of was drawn to like hip-hop when it first started arriving in New Zealand, right?
Yeah, so that his very first, his first band was, he was in West Auckland at Waitakere College, I think, from memory, and he formed a hip-hop band in 1988. Now, if you're old enough to remember the arrival of hip-hop in New Zealand as a musical form that we started creating as a country, that's like ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the Up Hut Posse turned up with that too.
And
so right at the beginning, he was listening to early hip hop at school, and he formed a crew with a couple of people from school, and they were, just say they were moderately successful is a massive overstatement, but they kind of did well at school anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really took it beyond that. But yeah, he's, for him, that was kind of ground zero of his musical education as well.
Mm.
And we'll kind of come back to that. Sorry, yeah. Carry on.
No, maybe we can. Sorry, the Zoom awkwardness, isn't it, of an interview? No, I was just going to say, I think that connection between like hip hop and kind of jazz, more like traditional musicality training, is like really interesting. And I guess we see it in a lot of jazz and hip hop nowadays as well. In New Zealand.
Yeah. And those early days of hip-hop as well, I mean, the so-called golden age of hip-hop, as they talk about it now, jazz was such a big part of the sampling of all those bands.
Mm.
And, you know, and all the way through the 90s, hip-hop was obviously central to the music that was being made and being called hip-hop. Sorry, jazz was central to, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, the two were tied together. And so there's always that sort of hip hop sensibility in the Bamboo stuff, and they're quite sort of, you can kind of hear that sort of 90s soul thing, like the Brand New Heavies and Galliano, that sort of acid jazz stuff that came through in their music. But there's also that sort of like gritty hip hoppy sort of side as well, which I don't think he's ever quite lost.
Yeah, I kind of hear that in just looking at the songs that we've got to play. I hear that like hip hop kind of jazzy influence in Tighten Up quite a lot.
Yeah, well, Tighten Up is a classic. It's a classic old funk song. Came out of Texas in the late 1960s, and it's a cover version. And this was the song that really broke them, I think. They trying to remember who did the original, and this is not smart of me. Archie Bell and the Drells did the original. So what Lance started doing with the Bamboos is recording 45s instead of sending them off around the world. And one of the tracks he recorded was this track. He recorded it in Melbourne, sent it off, and it was picked up by one of the masters at work, Frankie got after it. I'm confused now. Where am I? Kenny Dope Gonzalez's label, KD Records, released it in the States. It kind of became the soundtrack of that year, you know, clubland around the world, you know, in bars and cafes and stuff as well.
Wow.
So it launched the band into some sort of career. And it was on Kenny Dope's label. So, yeah.
Cool.
A very important for him.
So cool. I love that flute.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just so like uplifting and joyous, eh?
And one of the reasons I think that the song, you talk about hip-hop, the original Archie Bell and the Drells song has been sampled by hip-hop 1,000 times. So that kind of, you know,
there you go.
That's the connection.
Cool. And so this is really what launched the Bamboos?
Yeah, it launched them internationally. So it got picked up by Kenny Dope's label. I mean, and Kenny Dope and Keb Daj, his co-owner, are pretty influential DJs around the world, and especially in the hip-hop and club scene. I mean, Kenny's got a house side he does as well, but this is the funk hip-hop, you know, that sort of side of what he does. And the label is a real collector's label. It's one of those labels that comes out and you see a record on it and you go, you know, if you're into that sort of music, you buy it automatically about listening to it. So it was a big club hit around the world. And you still kind of hear it everywhere, I think. If you go into a bar or something, you know, it gets played. And they put the band on a, gave them a global footing. And out of that, they managed to get a deal with a label called True Thoughts, which is a fairly important sort of new soul, new hip hoppy sort of label out of the UK. And that launched the Bamboos.
Very cool. Shall we play the final Bamboos track that we have?
Yep, sure.
And talk a little bit about, because this one is where like the hip hop really starts to come in, I guess.
Well, this is, you mean that you're talking about the Everything's Gonna Be Okay with
yes.
Kings?
Yeah, I am.
Which I think is really cool because it's like got that classic sort of like early 90s, late 80s sort of hip hop feel.
Mm.
You know, the new golden age of hip hop, as they say. And yet it features a New Zealander, Kings,
so
as
cool.
a guest vocalist. And it's off the most recent Bamboos album, which came out in November, I think. And it kind of brings it all full circle. You know, you think about Lance was growing up in West Auckland. Kings is from the North Shore. And, you know, it kind of drags it all together again, I suppose.
Yeah, no, totally. It's, yeah, it definitely is a full circle moment. This is Everything Gonna Be Okay from the Bamboos and Kings. You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
On the days that ain't going your way, everything gonna be okay. If your clothes ain't Louis V or Dolce, everything gonna be okay. If we ain't in paradise with Coldplay, everything gonna be okay. Even if you don't feel like it's okay, meet the bros around a quarter to three at the PUB. We been in TAB. I put $100 bills on the UFC. I got Izzy for the winning, now the drinks on me. Hey, I check the time and I'm about to be late. The girl from the cab said to me to act. Hey, fuck. I drunk too much to drive. A little high and my breath smelling like I'm late at 95. So I pull up to the date in this state. She the type of girl who don't repeat her mistakes. I head off to the bathroom, wipe the guilt off my face. Everything gonna be okay. On the days that ain't going your way, everything gonna be okay. If your clothes ain't Louis V or Dolce, everything gonna be okay. If we ain't in paradise with Coldplay, everything gonna be okay. Even if you don't feel like it's okay, everything gonna be okay. There's no ups and downs reside behind our smile. Days that ain't going your way, everything gonna be okay. If your clothes ain't Louis V or Dolce, everything gonna be okay. If we ain't in paradise with Coldplay, everything gonna be okay. Even if you don't feel like it's okay, everything gonna be okay. On the days that ain't going your way, everything gonna be okay. If your clothes ain't Louis V or Dolce, in paradise with Coldplay, everything gonna be okay. Even if you don't feel like it's okay,
everything gonna be okay from the Bamboos and Kings. What a lovely tune.
Yeah. It's cool, isn't it? It's just fun, basically. And it's, you know, it kind of ties it all together, as I say. And it's just, I was really thrilled when I got the album. I sent the album, and that was on the album, and I just like that sort of like that tie-in.
Mm.
You know, it seemed absolutely perfect.
Yeah, totally. Okay, we've talked in depth about the Bamboos, and they've got a lovely sound, but Lance has done heaps of other stuff, yeah?
He's done 30 albums since 2004, I think, and across all sorts of different genres. This is, you know, prolific is an understatement, and everything he's done has been done with out of one studio and one engineer, but he's, you know, he I suppose he said he's a student of music. I said you sound like a fan. He said, well, I'm more a student than a fan. I think it's a bit of both, actually, because you can kind of look at the you know, obviously that hip hop track there with Kings, refers back to that sort of like Daisy age of hip hop. And one of my favorite things he's done is a series of four albums by his jazz band. Spiritual jazz, I think, as I say in the article, it's like it's an overused term these days, and I'm not quite sure what it means.
Spiritual jazz.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an expansive word, you know, and we love putting these tags on popular music.
Yeah.
But he made four albums anyway, and a lot of them it's with musicians he started playing with years and years ago in the late 90s and things. And they are that sort of like almost Miles Davis-y kind of blue. I mean, spiritual jazz just means this warm, big, I don't know, spiritual sort of feel.
Yeah, it's very lush.
Very, very lush and very sort of emotional, and it's not really like free jazz as such. It's more sort of like, you know, the stuff you sit back and
it's interesting, like going from something like The Bamboos, which has a lot of those layers and textures but still feels quite structured in terms of like pop sensibilities and funk and all that, and then this is very much just kind of that like stream of consciousness.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to him about it, and he was saying that, you know, he got the jazz out of the hip hop, and we were talking about before that connection between hip hop and jazz, and so he was listening to a lot of early hip hop and stuff, and he was hearing things like Miles Davis kind of blue, and you know, all this sort of stuff in there, and that took him on the whole journey. It took him on one of several journeys, actually. In the article, if you start going through, there's this exotica and the Latin stuff he does as well. It's kind of mind-blowing.
There's just so much, eh?
There is. It's extraordinary. So, I mean, he fell in love with people like the later John Coltrane stuff and Thyra Sanders and that sort of thing. And this is, once again, him being a student of the music that he fell for, I suppose.
Mm. Beautiful. Cool. This is Menagerie, The Shores of Infinity. We'll listen to the full track in a second while I'll fade it back up. But thank you so much, Simon Gregg, for speaking with us
Always
for Audio
enjoyable.
Culture. So lovely to chat.
There's so much more to learn, so the story's there if people want to read it.
Yeah, everyone go to Audio Culture and read Simon Gregg's piece on Lance Ferguson. Very interesting guy. Very interesting article. Awesome.
And he's out.
Thanks so much, Simon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Without passion, there is no need to pursue. All of existence befalls right upon.
It is very much spiritual jazz, Simon Gregg. I would totally agree with that. That's Menagerie with the Shores of Infinity. You've been listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM. Thank you so much, Simon Gregg, for chatting to us about Lance Ferguson. Everybody go to Audio Culture and read his article. It's very interesting. What a guy.
That was
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination. Bon appétit.